Hey, this is Winston Zeddemore, CEO of Zeddemore Industries and member of the original Ghostbuster team. You're listening to Why We Bust, brought to you by the Windy City Ghostbusters and Memoriam Development. We're talking about members in the community and giving back. So suit up, shut your traps, dial in your PKE, and keep busting. Because it still feels good. And before you ask, no, I did not catch the number of that ghost train. Sorry, I missed it.
Hello, everyone. The Windy City Ghostbusters are excited to present the second season of the Preeminent Show, focused on the charitable side of ghostbusting, where we meet all of the incredible people from all over the world that dress up like khaki-covered exterminators, lugging around their 30-pound light-up backpacks, all in the name of putting smiles on faces and helping people. We will find out what makes them tick and hear their take on why we bust. I am your host, Patrick Calvert. Joining me is our co-host, Matt Galtenbone. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Patrick. Happy to be here. Happy to be on screen and in front of all of the lovely viewers out there in ghostbusting land.
It's been a while. It's good to see your face.
It has. You know, life happens. Things happen. But who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Yeah. You look, we never promised 52 weeks a year. That's not in our deal, but we are going to be putting forth pretty consistent, I think, for the duration of the year here. In season two. And you know, Matt and I decided, you know, as we were sort of on our fall and winter sabbatical, you know, I think we kind of talked about what are some good ways to kind of keep the momentum going and really format the show for the long haul. And so we are going to adjust things just a tad, but I don't think it's going to be anything groundbreaking, especially if you've been patient enough to wait through the hiatus that we were on. But, you know, Matt, do you want to share a little bit about how that's going to look?
Yeah. So what we're going to do going forward is we're going to go to a biweekly format. We want to keep you waiting a little bit. We want to keep you on the edge of your seat a little bit, waiting for that next episode. Will they come back? Of course. So
because what we heard from you in our focus groups was that there is such a thing as too much Matt and Pat. So we want to make sure we don't give you too big of a helping too many times.
And then we found out when we took away the puppy, people got a little upset.
There was.
So, yeah, so we're going to go, it's going to be a bi-weekly format. I'll be doing interviews 1 week, and then 2 weeks after that, Patrick.
That's right. And in those, the weeks that I take it, an occasional interview, and Matt and I may occasionally hop on and do a show together as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put extra effort and attention on focusing on themes and bringing people in that are experts or experienced in certain themes of fundraising and of just kind of growing and sustaining a healthy Ghostbuster franchise, and just making sure that we give you something to chew on every once in a while and help you out as far as looking to grow and make the most out of what you're doing. Especially, I mean, we're going to get into it, Matt, but with the Ghostbusters Give Back, that has been quite a success this year. And I think we really need to make sure everybody is firing on all cylinders there.
Yeah. And I'm not sure, if you haven't catched our back catalog of episodes, we had the pleasure of talking to Eric Wright right at the beginning of this. And I mean, what an amazing initiative that Sony has put forth for this. And it's really exciting to watch on Facebook the different teams and their efforts and, everybody really putting their best foot forward to just raise money for great causes. I mean, if you look into some of these franchises, it's all across the board for different causes. I mean, it's, it's really nice to see that, when we get dressed up in our khakis, we're all trying to do good.
Go ahead.
I say, you know what, in this day and age, that's really what it's about. It's just, it's paying it forward and doing something good for the next person down the line.
Absolutely. And you can see, I mean, we're not even halfway through the Ghostbusters give back kind of fiscal year, we can call it, which ends on Ghostbusters Day. So final day for fundraising, I believe, will be June 7th of this year. But like we surpassed their high goal. You know, their high goal was 250K raised, and franchises across the country and the world are already there. So it's all gravy from here. So I think we probably are raising a few eyebrows and opening some eyes over on the Sony lot with what's going on.
I think, you know, we've already exceeded it. I really think that through the next few months here, that goal is just going to get smashed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's
exciting to see.
It really is. And I mean, when we all started this, who knew, you know, right.
And the best part of this, Matt, is we've spent all this time knowing that franchises are doing good. We could never quantify it, like, as a whole.
Right.
How much exactly are we doing? And I think this has just been a great way to really see that this is not, you know, this is no small feat going on, because we're all volunteers.
Right.
We're all just, you know, trying to take a few extra, you know, minutes out of our week to go out and raise some money. And rarely are we at an event where people are there knowing that they're going to be giving out a few dollars to us. So everything we're taking is just people that were excited to see us, you know, and we're willing to just kind of show their appreciation.
And that's the amazing thing about, you know, when you're at events, when you walk into one and you set your donation box up, right? You never know what's going to happen. And there's often times where I have just been blown away at some of the smallest events just by the generosity of people, that when they see us doing what they're doing and they hear the stories, you know, of our group and the members and stuff, it's really heartwarming.
Yeah.
To see the reaction that we can give to people, and, you know, knowing what we do to give back to communities. It's, you know, some of the smallest events I've seen some of the largest donations come out of. And that's for any team that's out there starting up. And, you know, when you start doing your first events and such, or even, you know, your second and third year, it's one of my biggest things is don't get discouraged. Just keep doing events, do as many as humanly possible. Don't push yourself.
The back can only take so many hours with a proton pack strapped to it.
Don't burn yourself out. But when you put yourself out there, good things can happen. And that's what I've seen as our team has really grown in the last few years, just putting it out there and seeing what we can do, man.
Yeah. It's been, you know, this is going to be my third year with the group, and it's I'm always blown away. And it's not that I have low expectations either. You know, I'm holding us to a high standard, and we keep hitting. So I'm proud of the group. And I think we're going to take the time here on our premiere episode for season two to talk a little bit about that. And, you know, we know the Windy City franchise the best, obviously. And we have some new blood at the top over the past year at Windy City, a new president, a new vice president. And we are going to talk to our current vice president at Windy City Ghostbusters and hear a little bit about how the year went, what his experience has been, and if he's ready, I think we'll bring him in.
I think he's always ready.
Are you ready, Matt?
I'm ready to go.
Is your finger on the button? Okay. Well, let's welcome to the stage Windy City Ghostbusters' very own Greg Bullendorf. Here he is. Greg, welcome, buddy.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I'm just going to rearrange you a little bit.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Matt. Patrick, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Doing very well.
What is the delay? What, we have like a 10-second delay, right? We good?
Yeah, don't worry. We'll bleep you.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Hello, Chicagoland and all of our fans.
Turn your radio down,
Greg.
Country
and around the world. Nice to meet you. Thanks for tuning in tonight.
Well, thanks for being with us, Greg. I want to ask you. So you know, you had a full year of being vice president. What's that like to be at the top of one of the largest franchises that we're a part of?
Well, you know, Matt, it feels good. It really does. You know, I didn't know really what I was going to be getting myself into. I'm sure, you know, anybody who's taken a role such as mine can say the same thing. But we had a great year. As far as you guys have touched on the Give Back initiative that Sony presented to teams across the world. I mean, right now, if you look at those numbers on the Ghostbusters.com site, we're at $13,000. But those numbers have not been updated. We also made a $4,000 donation in December, bringing our total for the year of 2025 up to $17,000 so far. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's good to see that.
Yeah. That's top three, which we can't be more proud of with the output that we've had here in 2025.
Right. You know, and again, you know, you can't do this. This isn't a one-man show. Not myself, not our president, Dan, not you guys doing this. It's everybody on the team going out, you know, every time there's an event and giving it their all and promoting it, knowing that we're bringing smiles, like you guys say in the beginning, smiles to kids' faces, you know, and helping out a good cause here in the Chicagoland area.
Absolutely. And one of the things, you know, Greg, you took on this leadership role, but Windy City also is one of the busiest franchises in the country, if not the world, as far as number of events attended. I know that the group has had two, occasionally three events on the same day. How do you organize something like that? How do we get people staffed and there? What is that process like?
Well, you know, and that's where our crack events team comes into play. You know, come on, Matt, pat yourself on the back. I saw you. Yeah. Hey, you know, Matt's part of events.
You know what? I try not to give myself too much credit for that. It's seriously the work of the whole events team. And Greg, you were a part of the events team for
events before coming out and taking the vice president's role.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it takes a village, right? Isn't that the saying? It takes a village.
Yeah.
Right. Something like mm-hmm. that. But yeah. I mean, you know, Matt and who was it last year? You and Jake and John.
Yep.
And led by Jason, who was on call for what? 8, 7 years, Jason. I don't know if you're watching, but 7 years was your term as events chair.
I believe it was 8.
Yeah.
Was it 8?
Yep.
So I mean, you know, it takes a village. And like you said, Patrick, you know, 2-3 events a day, not uncommon, not unheard of, but not something that's consistent. But when we get those days, you know, it's our events team that's like, all right, we got to divide this up. We're helping people. We want to make sure we're getting out there, raising as much money as we can for the cause. So it can be tiring running from one event to the next, but we end up pulling it off.
And it's I want to just put it out there too. And again, for teams that are just starting out or are fresh or you know, sometimes get frustrated with this. If something happens and the event gets canceled, or you know, you're super short staffed, life happens.
Mm-hmm.
There will be other events. You know, hopefully whoever you're working with is compassionate towards things like that. But you know, don't beat yourself up. You know, we had a couple situations where things happen. And again, just to teams out there that are listening, just keep trucking forward, man. Don't let those little things like that keep you down or you know, impact the fact that you're going out there, you're getting other events, you're getting stuff under your belts. You can't help Mother Nature either.
Oh, right?
Yeah, that's nothing like getting rained on carrying a proton pack. Or snow. We got snowed out this year, didn't we, Greg?
I was just going to say that, Patrick. You know, we're in Chicago. You know, it snows here. I think, what, last St. Patrick's Day at the Southside Irish? It snowed, like, the entire time.
It was miserable.
We had to cancel an event. in December.
Oh yeah, yeah.
One of our favorites of the year. Yep.
The St. Charles Christmas Parade, because that's when that freak storm came through Friday night, clear beautiful skies, and then Saturday morning there was what, like 3 feet, 4 feet of snow on the ground.
It was
ice and. Well, and those that aren't in the St. Charles area, the parade is downhill and then uphill. So.
Yes. And that should be, by the way, can I say something to Matt and Greg?
Yeah.
You got to put a disclaimer on the invites to those St. Charles events so everybody knows what they're getting into when you choose to walk in a parade in St. Charles.
Right. The downhill part's the easiest part. The last leg when you're going uphill is the one that sucks.
It's like San Francisco out there. But,
yeah. Well, actually, what I'd like to do is have my friend Gary get a couple ropes for the back of his Back to the Future DeLorean, so that way we can all just, you know, throw a hoverboard on and we'll get pulled up the last leg of the hill there.
There we go.
I'll take it. But yeah, no, that was a bit of a bummer, as that's where you get to just decorate yourself pretty much. It's an electric Christmas parade. So I put on all sorts of Christmas lights on the pack and on my arms, and people had some pretty creative ways to light up the night at that parade.
Yep. Hey guys, I just want to take a quick second here because, you know, just coming back here, I want to make sure that we're acknowledging some of the people that are in our chat here. To everybody that's given us well wishes for being back, we really appreciate it. I want to take a special second out here for, I saw Bryce and Terry here from Sioux Empire. You guys are great. We love watching and seeing what you guys are doing. Matt Sucro, good to see you in here, buddy. Thank you for tuning in. Shelby, hi. Miss Builder, good to have you in here. And Ian, one of the things I love about doing this is I get all my nieces and nephews that I'm at work associated with Santa Claus. Ah, that's great. And he had to shovel his driveway every hour on the hour. Ooh, that sounds like a task. But being in the Chicagoland area, that is something that we regularly have to deal with in winter. So it was a nice 40-some degrees today. Let's hope
we're getting another polar vortex coming down. But, you know, with that, so
it's the death chill.
You know, we had, you know, at the end of the year, you think Halloween things start to slow down, but that's where we kick off our toy drive every year, Greg. Mm-hmm. And, and this year we grew that toy drive. Last year we blew our own expectations out of the water last year. And this year we set a little bit of a higher standard for ourselves. Can you kind of go over a little bit about, you know, the toy drive that we do?
So through the efforts of our charity liaison, Steve Zandrowski, we added more drop-off locations to our repertoire. I think we ended up between 15 and 17 locations this year.
Great.
And we totaled a grand total, and we hand count these toys, mind you, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have an accurate idea.
It is not an estimate.
This is not an estimate. We actually ended up with 6,600 toys this year. So, yeah, I don't know how we're going to beat that this year. The bar has been set. So I think we need to start talking now about what we're doing for this upcoming year for 26 and how
I was
to
at the
6,600 toys.
I was at the drop off with those toys. It was pickup trucks, U-Hauls filled to the ceiling with toys. It took an hour to unload those toys from the trucks and bring them over to the holding room at La Rabida. It was incredible. And we turned so many heads, you know, with people just, what, you're still bringing more, toys in? It's still going. It was a sight to see, and the generosity of the community, donating so many toys it's great. I'm just so proud to be a part of this group, and seeing the results that we have when we all really are firing on all cylinders.
Definitely.
Absolutely. So Greg, what for 2025? I know you've always got a soft place in your heart for it. What was the best event you did last year that you think we really had the most success at, engagement with people? where Windy City really shined. What do you think that was last year?
Didn't I say don't put me on a spot like this?
I know the answer.
Do you have the Jeopardy music so you know I can think about this?
Hang on. No, we can give you an applause.
I'll take the applause. honestly, I'm trying. I mean, I'm going from the beginning of the year. I'm running through really quickly, you know, everything that we've done. I mean, honestly, I mean, every event that we do is a success. Everything has a place in its heart with me, honestly. I mean, but you know what? I'll tell you what, and I know where you're probably going to go. Let's do it on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Scarecrow Fest.
Yep. It does. It is a good event. It's a great community event. The people in St. Charles and the surrounding area. I mean, people come
Saint
from
Charles
all over.
Again.
Yeah, I mean.
Patrick, have you done Scarecrow Fest yet?
It's my wife's birthday. It always falls on the weekend of my wife's birthday. But this year, I got permission to go, and I did the Saturday event there. And I don't recall being so busy. And like the line of people to just take photos never ended. The line of people at our table never ended. And I didn't leave the photo section. I couldn't even see what was going on everywhere else because it was just picture.
Right. And you know, and that's just not the St. Charles community. I mean, a quick story. I mean, we were there last year in 24 and I'm sitting there and this guy's like staring at me. Like, I'm like, okay, who is this whack job? You know? And I look at him and I go, Timmy. He's like, what's up, Greg? It's my wife's cousin from Rock Island. They drove from Rock Island to come to this. They found it online and just wanted to come out and see, you know, something new. People come from all over to this festival. And the funny thing is, you guys know we're stationed in that park. We don't even know what goes on at the other end of the town because we don't get a chance. No. Like Patrick said, we've got so many people coming up to take pictures, to say hi, whatever. You know, it's just so busy. It's really fun.
It was impressive to be a part of it this year.
And that was actually, you know, five years ago now. Yeah. Five years ago now. That was my first event that I did. And it was my I feel like it's gotten more busy because we were coming out of COVID at that time. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as busy as it is today. But I can remember walking up with my pack and, you know, talking with Greg and Dan and being like, oh, yeah, this should be fun. And next thing you know, it's just I had at that point in my life, I had never taken that many pictures with people. Right? Holy cow. But,
you know, I think we may have put like, you know, put Disney World, like the characters there to shame sometimes.
Well, I learned, you know, not to set a standard of kneeling down to get. close for the kids when you've got a proton pack on your back. Only so many of those. Maybe if I was in my 30s.
I was gonna say we won't give away our age, but it is getting more and more difficult to get up from that kneeling position for taking pictures. So
but yes, I think the year before, didn't we have like a hay barrel we were able to get we were able to get the kids to stand on? We actually did that.
We like kind of grabbed them randomly and just dragged them over.
I
don't think they didn't have many out this year. I don't think.
No, we were because
that's what
for
I was
them.
Looking for. You know, I was looking for a good place for Dan to like, you know, make a little bed and hide.
Yeah, you know, well, but because he is prone to injury, so we do need to have some type of medical station set up. You know, just specifically for Dan,
in case he cuts his thumb off.
Yeah. So hey, over in the chat, real quick, we got one of my favorites, Moby Sign Company. My computer. I'm on a Chromebook all day and I'm on an HP right now. That's awesome. Keep up the great work, guys. Moby Sign Company, huge shout out to you. A huge sticker and other thing producer for the Ghostbusters community and others. I am every single one of my packs and other things. I built my Real Ghostbusters Stay Puffed Ecto-1 with their stickers. So huge shout out. Thank you for being on here watching us. We support you. Thank you for supporting us. And stay gold, Tony boy, 87. Remember, folks, you too can be a part of all the good we do. Find us on our social media channels and give us a message today to join. We are always looking for new members in the Chicagoland area. If you're in the Chicagoland area, if you know somebody in the Chicagoland area, send us a message, man. We're always, always looking for new recruits.
Yeah, like we
people
said,
people that are looking to have fun and raise money to help a good cause.
Yeah, because we have gotten large enough that there are folks that attend a ton of events, and we're all over the Chicago area. So there are some folks that only attend the stuff in the north suburbs and the south suburbs and the west suburbs. And so you'll have people that have been to tons of events every year and don't even get a chance to cross paths because we kind of have localized throughout the different areas of Chicago.
Yeah. This may come off as one of those commercials you see at late night. And for just two events a year, you too can be a member of the Windy City Ghostbusters.
It's true. It's exciting. So reach out to the Windy City Ghostbusters if you're in the Chicago area and are interested in that. But you know, Greg, you took on the role of VP, and had you been eyeing that role? Had you been thinking about that? You know, for a little while before you assumed that mantle, and you know, what has your experience been? How have you felt like, you know, you've kind of grown in your understanding of the group since becoming VP?
Well, you know, I really wasn't eyeballing it. I knew at some point in time that I did want to take a next step up. Didn't realize it was going to be an accelerated step up, but I took it. And, you know, just being the VP, I mean, like I said, I've kind of adapted to the role. You know, Dan being our president, I feel that he and I work together really good as a team. And, you know, this year we did, I personally feel, I can't say it, but I personally feel that we did a good job last year. And hopefully for this year, you know, we've got some things up our sleeve, and, you know, we'll keep the train on its tracks and keep moving forward.
Yep. Keep that subway just a trucking on down. And actually this is a good point that we have Ian bringing up here. Also, you know what? I can't ignore this one. I wonder who Boy Bowley 1604 is, says howdy.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, Nick. But here Ian,
nerd.
Ian, yeah. Ian says, what side of my uniform should I give back patch on the actual Ghostbusters side on my right or my team badge side on my left? So if you look at the Ghostbusters give back page, they actually do show it. It'd be on your left going down the arm. Now, I believe I'm looking at one of my flight suits right now. I believe there is a pocket there. Greg, have you actually put yours on yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Me personally, the way my suit is, if I start putting it on there, it's going to run underneath my elbow pad. So I'm holding on to mine for now. But yeah, you do put it on the side with your team patch.
Yep. So, and I have not personally seen one of the patches. How do they look?
Pretty cool. They're not huge, so they're not going to take up your entire arm if you're worried about that. But they're pretty cool. And by the way, anything that we're given from headquarters, you know, is a big deal.
At least for
me. And it's I am curious to see, you know, where that's going to wind up this year, because I think if we do this multiple years, you might start running out of arm space.
You buy more flight suits.
A little bit on there, yeah. Maybe just you need little things that go underneath your name tape, like showing which year the campaigns you were a part of and what color that you got, or something along those lines. But
there you go. Like if they did it so it corresponded with the previous year, and like you could build on it and like that, mm-hmm. something like that, it'd be kind of cool. Sony, if you're listening, So we know about 2025. What are we looking towards for 2026 here, Greg? You have you gotten a little sneak peek at what the Windy City Ghostbusters are up to?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
That's why we invited you here, Greg.
Yes.
No, I can't confirm or deny anything. I mean, we've already got some events on the books for the year. I mean, we're starting right out of the gate hot. So, you know, I mean, if it tells you anything with events, I think we got, what, like two or three already for February? I mean, we're coming out hot. We don't really take a rest. Our last event was, what, like December 21st, I want to say? We took a few weeks off, back in business on in February. So, I mean, it's just going to snowball from here. Last year, I want to say, what do we do, Matt? I mean, maybe correct me if you're wrong or if you know off the top of your head. What do we do, like 77 booked events? Something like that?
I can always look back and then going from memory, I believe it was 76 or 77. Yes.
Something in that bypassed 24 by like five or six events.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're always adding on. So, I mean, that's like you said, Patrick, we're growing as a team. We're growing with events. You know, I mean, really, it's like steamroller effect.
Right. And there's a lot of repeat events. You know, we do something. We have a good showing as far as fundraising, but it also, you know, the people running those events are clearly seeing that that it's good to have us there.
Right.
So for the groups that are younger and starting out, say yes. You know, it's not all going to happen, you know, overnight,
right.
But
you're
going to be networking at every single event, and somebody is going to see you that works for another town, and, you know, you will have opportunities that come your way. And again, Windy City, what, this will be our 11th year. There's plenty of time to kind of build
Rome wasn't built in a day.
No, and don't expect 77 events your first year.
Right. And unless you really want to get out there and hustle.
Unless, you really got some tenacity. No, you know, these things really do grow. And like you were just touching upon, it's about networking. It's about talking to people. Yep. It's about getting the word out there about your team. Social media presence, you know, make sure that your name is out there. So when people do go, you know, searching for Ghostbusters near me, you know, make sure that, you know, you got the city that you're in, make sure you got all your info in there in the bio. So all those algorithms hit correctly for when people are searching for you. And, just keep that subway a trucking.
Yeah. And Matt can, or Greg, either one of you, cause I have not been on the events team, but is there a place that you kind of courted that you said, I think we belong at this particular event or need to be working with this particular group, and you were able to reach out and, you know, cold and actually get some traction?
I do have a very big one, and that would be our Ghostbusters Day celebration at the Volo Auto Museum. That was something that had been on my radar for quite a while, as a patron of the museum since I was about 7 years old. I'll age myself. I'm now 44. So I've been going there regularly for a number of years. And I just happened to be there just checking out the movie cars and such. And I saw their Ghostbusters display, which at that point was they have a Miller Meteor there. And it's a beautiful car, but they had a mannequin next to it that looked like something out of a Ghostbusters actual horror movie. The Ecto goggles were hanging half off his face. He was in a weird pose. The gloves were taped on. So I reached out to them about redoing their display. And we got some team members involved, and we ended up actually rebuilding the Volo Auto Museum display for their Ecto One with the lockers and a trap. And we have two packs out there. I redid their pack that they had that was an all wood pack. Jacob built a PKE meter. Tristan built a trap. So we ended up building a great relationship with them. And now we're doing the yearly Ghostbusters Day there. And it's been great for the team. It brings a lot of members out. It gets great customer or patron engagement with them. And it turns out to be one of their larger events for the year. So that's, I'll put a small feather in my cap for bringing that to us and building a great relationship.
Well, congrats on that one. And really smart approach as well, because you were offering to do something for them, but you know that is also doing something for the fans, you know, you being one of them, and really enhancing that experience.
Right. And let me tell you, when I first picked up the pack and I found out that it was made of wood, It is not something that I really expected. So I ended up getting some people involved with it that actually found out where that pack had originally come from. And I ended up getting some history on that pack. So it was actually a really cool experience because a lot of people didn't even know it was all wood. So it was interesting.
Very cool. And Greg, you've got some history there. What, I believe you won a contest.
Yeah, that's right.
There's, no, I didn't.
There's photo evidence.
No, I didn't. It took me a second. It was all rigged, man. Set up.
Every year.
Because I'm going to go on.
No, we're good. There are photos. Go ahead, Greg.
What Greg is not telling you is that every year they have a marshmallow pie eating contest in honor of the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. And Greg, you're our Iron Man.
Well, I thought I was until it was rigged. Rigged. Yeah. Here, just for backstory, you know, everybody had like a quarter inch of marshmallow fluff in their pie tin. And I had like literally like 5 inches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The beard stayed nice and clean. I put oils and beard butter in it beforehand, and it just all smoothly came out. No sticking. That's what I was worried about.
Oh boy, that was a fun day.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So, but Greg, I like Patrick had touched on. I know that there's quite a few events that you brought our way. What was something that you brought our way that you're proud of that you know can put that feather in your cap?
Well, you know, I mean, we've already hit on it, Scarecrow Fest. I mean, I just reached out to them. I'm like, hey, fall, scarecrows, Halloween, Ghostbusters, what better, you know, it's like chocolate and peanut butter. And I mean, our contact at the time, Amy, was like, yeah, love to have you guys. And the relationship just built from there. We did that. We were invited to the Electric Christmas Parade, the St. Patrick's Day Parade. So we've had a healthy relationship there. You know, and it's just a matter of seeking out, you know, not necessarily where you feel that you're going to fit, but just some of the con, like the smaller cons and things. You know, you just got to find a way to associate Ghostbusters with those things, you know. You know, a lot of, and you know, again, for like the teams that are starting off, look to your sports venues, your minor league teams in your area. A lot of people do theme nights. So look at those. A lot of places do 80s nights. We do one with one of our local minor league baseball teams. They have an 80s night all every year. They put us there, you know. Hey, Joliet Slammers. Oh, gee, who's the co-owner of the Joliet Slammers, guys? 1, 2, 3.
Bill Murray.
So, I mean, that was kind of a no-brainer. And, I mean, we've got a great relationship there. This will be our third year going back. I just talked to not Bill, but the other owner last week. So, I mean, he's excited to have us back. I mean, it's just a matter of keeping on the things that you have, making sure you stay on them, making sure that you do get invited back. That's my advice to like the newer teams out there.
Right. Like a knitting convention may not be the best place for a Ghostbusters team.
No, probably not.
A local con or possibly a local festival or somewhere where you can set up a table, you know, grab some donations, take some pictures. Those are those are the best places for you.
The owner, you know, the people that are running that, they're not necessarily looking for you to be drawing anyone extra to the event, but when they see a line of people smiling and taking photos with you, those are people that are enjoying the event. They're staying at the event longer.
Yep.
They're engaged. That's what they want to see. And I think, you know, it's pretty hard to deny, you know, when our group shows up to an event like Scarecrow Fest with, you know, a 20-foot Stay Puft Marshmallow Man behind you and traffic being blocked from the line queuing up to take pictures and play games. So it's they're not expecting a crowd, but they want to see that you are going to enhance the event. And so that's what you may want to focus on in your ask.
Yep. Enhancement. Yep. I like that, Patrick. That's a great
way to write that down.
Yeah.
Need a Sharpie?
EVENT crossed. Okay, got it.
Yep. I appreciate that. And I'll take your Venmo after the show.
Shh.
Oh, and hey, in the chat there, we have a Bob Anderson. Oh, hey there, everyone. I'm back. Bob, we love you. We miss you. And, you know, I actually want to give a shout out to you to thank you for coming
bring
him up.
On. Bring Bob on. Let's hear what he's doing tonight.
Yeah. Is he back in the room?
He's got a link.
Oh, that's right. He does. Bob, if you'd like to join us, but a quick thank you for, you know, coming up with the concepts here for Why We Bust and giving us the platform that we have here to just bring the world of Ghostbusters out to members and such and learn a little bit about what we do and how we do it.
Absolutely. Bob's been vital to some of the most fun events that we or most maybe fun in one way, but interesting, at the very least, always interesting when we get with the Wonderverse, rest in peace.
Yes.
Those events were fantastic to work most of the time.
We have a Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. You told me to jump in, so I figured.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, we want to hear, since I don't know how to throw anyone from our chat over to your broadcast, at least tell us what you got going on tonight.
So tonight I'm going to be playing a spooky game called Little Nightmares. It's a horror platformer. It looks real spooky. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'll have links to that in the chat so you guys can go see that.
Bob, do you ever get yourself, so maybe not while you're broadcasting, but do you ever freak yourself out with some of these games? Get yourself so immersed as you're playing?
Yeah, I would say so. There are times.
I startle easily, so I tried playing some of those more immersive games with, you know, get the headphones on, you're paying attention, and, you know, too many jump scares for me, even on non-scary games. You know, Sonic the Hedgehog, I'm just scared out of my...
You know what's a really scary game? E.T. for the Atari 2600.
It's scary hard.
It's just scary. I'd fall in a hole and I'd never get out.
Well, so that game fell in a hole.
I was going to say the game literally fell in a hole.
Right?
So what have you guys been talking about tonight?
Well, we've been talking about how the team has, you know, overall just how the year went and where we've seen the team grow. And Bob, you've been around for longer than any of us here. Is there anything in you know, the calendar year 2025 that you saw the group do that, you know, really stood out?
6,600 toys. I have worked not regularly as much as Steve has, but I've seen how much work Steve puts into it. And I remember like year one when the concept came up, and then year two, it was more of like more execution and more execution to where it's now there was a U-Haul and two trucks filled and a trailer. And it was just nuts how many toys we had to bring out to these kids this year. That's what made my night, my 2025. It's so weird. And I haven't been around that much this year, physically as much as I'd like to be. But I still keep an eye on what's going on with the team, and it's really cool to see everybody kind of doing their thing.
Yeah, Bob, you've got your own brand. You're trying to grow with Bob After Dark, and busy.
Yes. That.
So where can we catch you? I hear you've got some things booked already for 2026.
Yes, I will be at same thing as with the Windy City Ghostbusters. I'll be at the Extra Life Gaming Convention. I will be at the Huntley Paranormal Con. Ooh. And Dead of Winter in Alton, Illinois. Those are a couple of the conventions you guys catch me at in 2026.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yes. Tonight you guys could jump over to my channel. I put a link in the chat and on the Twitch, and I'll go throw one up on the YouTube as well. But hope you guys enjoyed seeing my face for a minute.
Yep, we got the link up on the screen too for anybody that wants to jot it down really quickly with your pen, but or pencil.
Or charcoal.
I will remove myself from the thing. I wanted to jump in and because you guys told me to, but enjoy the rest of the show, everybody.
All good. Good seeing you, Bob.
Good seeing you, Bob.
I called Bob's radio show some point a couple months ago, and I thought I was being so clever, and I had the sound of, you know, monsters and all sorts of, you know, atmospheric things going on behind me because I was trying to pretend that I was out in the woods seeing a Sasquatch. And I forgot that my iPhone cancels out background noise. So they were hearing none of what I had spent all this time curating, and I just sounded like a wacko. Well, I mean, one of the wackos that calls into his show, but I thought I was really setting up like a great experience, and then I forgot to turn off the background silencing on my phone. So I'll just wait till he forgets that I did that, and I'll try it again sometime this year.
Oh, man, that's actually pretty funny.
Well, Matt, I think you know, we are kind of starting to wind things down here, but you know, Greg, any last words of wisdom? Anything you want to make sure we're keeping an eye on?
Last words of wisdom? I always say, never play leapfrog with a unicorn.
That's true. Nick can confirm, I'm sure.
Yes, many times have we tried, and he cannot do it.
You need special armor.
Yes, you do. But no, seriously, words of wisdom, you know, like we said, younger groups keep going forward. You know, look for the Windy City Ghostbusters out here in the Chicagoland area. Come out, say hi, take some pictures with us, give us a high five. We're going to be out and about starting in February, so lace up those boots, team, if you're watching. We're in for a heck of a year.
Get your flight suits back from the cleaners, yep. Polish up the boots.
Keep fit, stay sharp, and make good decisions.
Absolutely. So, Greg, I want to thank you for hopping on here. I think we'll probably talk to you again at some point over the course of the year, especially probably wrap up Ghostbusters Give Back later on in the year. But, you know, Matt, we've got, I think you're up next on the docket for a show in 2 weeks, correct?
Yes, sir. That's what it sounds like. So just keep a watch on all social medias for our next announcement for the next episode. And yeah, we'll see you on the flip side.
Take care, everybody.
Have a good night, everyone.
Memoriam Development.